Teo, it's great to be back with you.
Great to be back with you again.
Again, yeah. We say again because although this is the third podcast of the season, Teo and I had recorded a very in-depth podcast about a week ago. And unfortunately, we had audio issues and could not unleash it onto the league. But I think it's good we're doing this again right now because so much has changed in the last week. You starting to feel a little excited about where the season is going, Teo?
Yeah, I mean, it was exciting when we spoke a few weeks back, but now it's really exciting. And I love the durable theme of like a tight 1-5 competition.
Absolutely. And it's funny, when we had this podcast that never got aired, you know, there was a bit of a almost a victory lap for me at that time. You know, you were asking me about, you know, how I'd been able to, maintain success and like what was working for me, et cetera, et cetera. It almost felt like at that point, there was a foregone conclusion that I would walk away as champion. But as you've seen the last few days, Brad has been coming on super strong. I think for his benefit, Mookie Betts has just put together one of the great two months of fantasy baseball history. And I think that's kind of been driving a lot of his success. But geez, I mean, it's anybody's game at this point. I think we're 109.5 to 109 right now as we're recording. And every day it seems to go back and forth now. And then we've got a great bunch of teams in third through fifth place who are close to 100 points right now who, you know, I'm not counting them out of it either. We've still got 4 weeks of the season left. So it's been a really exciting season. And I think the last month is going to be really great.
Yeah, you know, in Roto, yeah, the points can, you know, sort of stay, can look like they're stuck while the underlying stats are actually shifting a lot. And I, when we spoke, had just gotten used to like, you know, 2 or 3 months of you having like a big advantage. So it's fortunate that we did catch up at this point instead.
I'm looking at Brad's team. I mean, not only has he had an incredible Mookie Betts season, he got Judge back. That was huge. He's been closing strong, I feel like, has been a theme for Brad the last few years. He just knows how to pace himself throughout the season. Whereas I feel like I've run out of ideas a little bit the last couple of weeks, and it's been a little bit frustrating. I didn't even mention Trey Turner, who's came out of having one of the worst seasons of his career. And the last couple of weeks, he's just been on fire. So Brad is just getting a lot of production from his good players right now when he needs it most. And I'm a bit at a loss of how to compete with him right now, especially on the pitching fronts. But it's not just about us two. I tell you, you're in that group with Andrew and I'm sorry, who am I? And Corey in that 3-5. So are you still feeling like you've got a shot as well?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, I had probably like a rough month, and Trout's been on the injured list, but I'm hanging in there, and I think I've got some. I think I've got some plausible upside to stay in top three contention, but it's been, a pretty fierce competition with Andrew and Corey, who are kind of polar opposites. Andrew's got all of the offensive categories locked down. Corey's got all the pitching categories locked up. They've been extremely competitive that year with that sort of lopsided approach.
We touched on this in the podcast that got deleted, but Corey's pitching staff is really amazing because there's not a lot of those like sexy big name, ace caliber pitchers that jump off the page really, although he's getting that kind of production from a lot of guys who you wouldn't really expect it from. Your Zach Eflin's and, Peralta, obviously he's been a good pitcher for years. He's getting a lot of, you know, he's getting some good relief work from guys who weren't really too much on my radar before the year. And I also just wanted to call specifically Cole Reagans, who's had an absurd last month, who just kind of came out of nowhere. Is just really locking down, locking it down for Corey. So I think he's had a really impressive season, and he just needs to add a couple pieces on offense. And I feel like this guy is going to be way up there going forward every year.
Yeah, Corey has a very futuristic pitching staff. You know, it's a few names are recognized. A few names I'm learning how to re-recognize, like Zach Eflin, Mitch Keller.
Yeah.
He really has a stranglehold, and locking up, all of the pitching categories is hard. You know, getting those volume stats and keeping your averages trim. So props to Corey. He knows what he's doing. It's dangerous.
I'm looking at the live standings right now and where I have points to gain and where Brad has points to gain. And really what I predict will do me in and will ultimately lead to Brad taking the league is ERA, quality starts. Those have been the two things that have been holding me back this year. I've just been getting clunker after clunker from guys like Strider gave up 6 runs in 2 innings yesterday to the Cardinals, was not expecting that, and then got a terrible Lance Lynn start. It's been like that for a while. Mm-hmm. I just had Alcantara go on the DL. Obviously, we know McClanahan is on the DL. I don't really know where to turn for the quality starts right now. Nola having a bit of a down year. So unless I can, pull a rabbit out of a hat here, it's going to be hard for me to make up any points, I feel like, in ERA and in quality starts. And I feel like that's where Brad's got me. Best I can do, I think, is keep putting out my lineup. I have a lot of faith in. I don't think there's too many points to gain right there, but I think it's all going to come down to pitching. Do you have a similar read on the situation right now?
I didn't until you walked me through it. I got to say, I'm licking my chops. He sounds like we might take you down.
This is where another area where I fall short. Looking at the waiver wire right now, it's pretty slim pickings, especially in terms of starting pitchers. And it's really hard to take a shot on some of these guys, try to stream guys to get quality starts. Mm-hmm. That's a risky thing. And I just don't know. I don't have a deep enough knowledge of the player pool to do that right now. So I've got my work cut out for me, and just props to Brad for having such a great season and, looking like in good position, but it's still got 4 weeks of the season left. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I think that also makes Corey's acquisition of Cole Reagans more impressive. I mean, he won that race. He got that player. It's so rare that you find, an ace in the rough at this stage of the year, in the dog days.
I was listening to a podcast where they talked about Reagans a little bit, and this was a guy who was on nobody's radar before spring of this year. He was kind of a finesse, like control pitcher. All of a sudden, he comes out in spring training and is hitting 99 miles an hour as a lefty, and this is kind of insane that like this can happen, which I think it's exciting that it can happen to players who you weren't expecting to see that from. But, I see him on Pitching Ninja hitting like 100, 101 in sixth, seventh inning. I mean, this is absurd. So I'm very jealous of Corey's pickup for Reagans.
He throws pitches so fast. They say his arm is like a ray gun.
that's brilliant, Teo. All right. Well, I mean, so we know we're at 1 through 5. We've got a really strong race right now, but we don't want to spend all of our time just talking about the top half of the league. Teo, as you look through the, 6 through 12, is there any team down there who you're really optimistic about going forward? Maybe not to finish out this year, but next year and the years to follow.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think having a tight competition from 1 through 5 at this point in Roto, in Dynasty is just, it's fantastic. But I think below that, they're probably out of the running. But there are a lot of exciting teams and a lot of exciting players embedded on all sorts of teams. the one that sticks out to me is Phil, Wildcat Nation. Phil got dealt a rough hand, and I'm not sure we've heard from him on that, but unfortunate, nasty business with Wander Franco. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a blow. But, you know, his offense was a juggernaut all season long. And, you know, Acuna looks like, you know, just the cream of the crop, you know, number one player you can build around. And there are other players on his team who are like, you know, kind of just like that. So I still think he's got a ton of upside. He just needs to, you know, rebalance from a tough season. And I think he'll be right back in it next year.
Good call. I like that a lot. For me, I'm going to go with Doug. You know, Doug has been making all kinds of trades this year. He's been wheeling and dealing with the best of them. But, you know, he's traded so many players. Yeah, but I go back to his team and I look at his offense in particular. And he has, I think, the potential to have the best offense in our league. I mean, let me just read through some of these players who are all like building block players. I mean, he's got Gunnar Henderson, Kyle Tucker, Bobby Witt, who was in one of his big trades a month or so back, which is a huge get for him. Witt has been tearing the cover off the ball, stealing bases. He's been a top 10 fantasy player since Doug picked him up. He's got Yordan Alvarez, Royce Lewis, who's come on super strong last month. Vladdy Jr., who's had kind of a down year, but I think Doug got him for a little bit cheaper than he would have a year or two ago. So I think there's still some potential there. CJ Abrams, who kind of, I don't think anybody expected him to be quite the power speed threat that he has turned into this year. And I think he's got a really bright future. He's only like 22 years old. Francisco Alvarez should be one of the best offensive catchers in the league for many years to come. And he just got Jordan Lawler called up from the Diamondbacks. So that's a ton of really great offensive talent on the team. So I think Doug is totally set for offense. And there are some guys I didn't even mention. The pitching is where he needs some help, but he's, you know, Grayson Rodriguez has turned it around recently. He's got a couple guys on the DL who could be helpful in the next year or two. He's got some young guys like Bobby Miller. He's got Bryce Miller who looked pretty good earlier this year. So I don't know, as much as Doug has been kind of, you know, a bit of a chaos agent in the league, I think that he has a great outlook looking forward. And, you know, even his prospects, he has so many prospects, but I think some of them will be helpful in the next year or two as well. So I look to Doug to really jump up the standings next year. It's been kind of a year of transition for him. And he's, as many trades as he's made, which just seems like sometimes it seems like he's making deals to make deals, but I think at the end of the day, it's given him a pretty strong roster to build on. And I think Doug is my pick for you know, to be greatly improved next year.
Yeah. Well, that I can't argue with any of that. I think, you know, my trade process is so laborious and slow moving and hesitant and second guessing that, you know, I think it surprises me when someone moves like this many, kind of circulates this many players. But I think you have to appreciate it less, you know, more as a, like more as a mosaic and, or sort of a volume, business. And that, you know, that process has brought him, Kyle Tucker over the years, brought him Kyle Tucker, now Bobby Witt Jr. You know, you're not going to be able to keep that offense down. He'll be up there with Phil and Andrew next season if all goes well. So, very interesting. One, go ahead.
So I wanted to get into a couple of trades that have happened that have transpired over the last couple months since we've done our last podcast. There have been some big ones. One that I wanted to ask you specifically about, Teo, was the Matt Olson for Torkelson and Burns trade that went down a few weeks ago, and which is an interesting trade because Torkelson has seemingly turned around his career since then. I mean, he looks a lot more like the player who was drafted number one overall. And Burns, obviously, we know he's a good. I mean, he's going to be a good pitcher for many years to come. But then you get Olson, who is leading the majors in home runs and RBIs. He's got a high on base percentage. I just would love to hear a little bit from you about how that trade came to be and how you're feeling about it.
Thanks for mentioning Torkelson. I hadn't noticed. I've been trying to avoid it. But I think in the last 2 weeks, his batting average is hovering in the low 200s, and I think he is not the same type of player as Matt Olson, and I was basically trying to turn a little surplus pitching, juju into a little more sturdy, offensive piece, and I think I've trusted Burns for years, but he's had a down, sort of a frustrating season, and I was feeling for the first time like ready to move him. It's been tough to see, both of them have, be very productive since joining Andrew's team. But I'm very excited about Olson's potential. And I think that's like a really sturdy building block for next year.
Yeah, I think Olson is going to he's going to be up near the leaders of home runs and RBIs probably the next 5 years. I would not be feeling too bad about that. If I were you, I think he's a great player. And we'll see what happens to Torkelson. I mean, the signs have been really positive the last month or two, but who knows? He may or may not take that next step forward. As it is, he's not like a top fantasy player. He's just had a pretty hot streak. So we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
A couple other, and I wanted to look back even at some trades that happened very early this year, just to kind of check in on them. And this one, I think, was a huge one for Doug, who traded Gunnar Henderson, or he traded DeGrom for Gunnar Henderson. Hindsight 2020. I mean, that's looking like an outstanding trade for Doug. Unfortunate what happened to DeGrom. Hope he can come back someday. But wow, I mean, Gunnar Henderson could be a top 25 fantasy player. DeGrom, he may never be the same again. So that's worked out extremely well for Doug.
Yeah, Doug really had a guardian angel looking out for him on that one. But it was a bold play. I think the risk was baked in to the price at the time because Gunnar Henderson was really underperforming, and despite being like the number one, the number one prospect to many evaluators coming into the season, the year before last he was not, he didn't have that much respect on his name, so. I think that was a risky move, and the way it played out is like so symmetric, symmetrical, with DeGrom going down and Gunnar coming into his own.
And another key trade, and I think this almost turned the season around for Brad. This was the Machado, Framber Valdez, Merrill Kelly, Trey Turner to Brad for Bobby Miller, Tim Anderson, and Vlad Jr. To Doug. I mean, Machado has had a very good second half. Trey Turner has really been on fire recently. Framber has been one of the top starting pitchers in baseball this season. And obviously Vladdy has had a really down year. Tim Anderson was also in that trade. He's had no contribution at all really on the fantasy side this year. Bobby Miller looks like he could be good. Really good, but he hasn't really, he's still a rookie. He still has a lot to prove, I think. But, geez, I mean, that trade, I think, really moved Brad from, in contention to potentially the favorite if we look back at it.
Yeah, good call. There were so many trades that I kind of forgot about this one. And I think it was so surprising that Brad would part with Vlad, his first round pick from the startup draft. But That was a great, those were all key acquisitions, and totally see how they like built him, you know, built him a little ledge to jump on.
You wanted to also mention about Julio, right?
Oh yeah. You know, this came up randomly in our last podcast. But I think it's worth saying again, that Andrew is in contention this year because he, you know, has all the, you know, he has so many points in all the offensive categories. And, you know, Julio Rodriguez has been a big part of that as well. He's had a, you know, a supernatural, second half. And, I was just reminded that, that Andrew acquired Julio from, Eric, in a swap that involved, Jose Ramirez. And there, I think there were a couple other players, but like, basically he traded Horam for Julio Rodriguez when he like had, you know, no games played at that point. And that was an incredibly bold, trade at the time, even though, you know, Julio's stock was way up. But man, Julio has, you know, has really emerged as like an Acuna type, potentially like Acuna type talent.
Yeah, I mean, what, he's 22 years old. I'm looking, he's the ninth ranked player right now, 27 home runs, 36 steals, good batting average. I mean, yeah, I feel like he's going to be, him and Acuna, I mean, Betts, I'm sure those are probably like the top three guys next year, I would think.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean, he'll be powering, I'm sure he'll be powering Andrew's offense for many years to come.
Well, let's change gears a little bit. You know, it's September 7th. Teams have been able to expand their rosters as of September 1st. And because of that, there have been some really interesting prospect call-ups. And I just want to rattle through a few of the names. And if Teo, you let me know if there's any that you want to chat about. But Evan Carter, who's Pipeline's number 8 prospect, was just called up today. Jordan Lawler, who's the number 10 prospect, was called up today. That's a Doug player, I believe. Colton Cowser came up recently. Kyle Harrison, who's one of my guys, he's been up for a few weeks now, but he's an exciting prospect. Ronnie Mauricio, Jason Dominguez, who else am I forgetting? The Yankees had another guy, I think, who they called up. Name is escaping me right now. Chenault, who was just drafted a few weeks ago, was called up. So I don't know, there have been some exciting names that have and Sedan Rafaela, your guy Teo, was just called up for the Red Sox as well, and he's had a really great start to the you know, even in his first 20 bats, he's looked really good. So, any of these guys stand out to you? Think will be really, you know, valuable players going forward? Anybody you're particularly excited about from that crop?
Well, I think the storyline I'm the most interested in there is Jason Dominguez.
And
you know, he's on the Yankees, but mostly the way I think of it is sort of a litmus test for prospect hype and, you know, how you should sort of value prospects in your mind and keep that over time. There have been a lot of fluctuations in Jason Dominguez's perceived value. His like market cap, you know, he's like, he came in with like, Mickey Mantle comps. And, then, but when he was like 17, he was like too fat to swing a bat. And, you know, it's been a lot of ups and downs since then, but, you know, he was so young in the first year player draft in 2020 or whenever it was. And, you know, to see him coming up now, it's like still sort of amazing how quickly time passes. But
I can't believe he's still only 20. I feel like I've heard this name for several years. Maybe I have. I mean, he was what, 16, but still, it's crazy that he's still so young.
Yeah. And sky's the limit. So excited to see him get an opportunity. But there are a lot of really exciting names on that list. I would go all the way back to Evan Carter.
Yeah.
I think Evan Carter could have a skill set that really shines in this format, because he has, without looking, high career walk rate. He's, a power speed threat, with, good batting average play. He's going to be like his potential six category, player. And, I feel like, Eric kind of builds, I think Eric has him, Eric kind of builds his team on players like that, who just, they all chip in a little bit everywhere. And he's going to fit in very nicely in that context.
Yeah, Evan Carter, a name I've heard obviously a lot this year, but I feel like he wasn't really, I mean, he was a second round pick a few years ago. He wasn't really on the fantasy radar like as much even year and a half ago, but elite on base percentage, seems like there's power projection, et cetera. That's the guy I think of the guys that we just listed who I'd want to have the most. So kudos to Eric for grabbing him. He looks like he could be really valuable in our league, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. There were a couple other players on that list. How's Kyle Harrison doing?
He had a couple good starts and a couple not so good starts. The thing with Harrison, elite stuff, looks like he could be like a Chris Sale type, unhittable when he's on. He just doesn't have commands. He walks too many guys. It's going to be rare that you get a quality start out of Kyle Harrison. You might have a few five innings, nine Ks, one run starts. I don't think this is a guy who's going to last very long into games as he's currently built right now. So I like having him. I'm not sure if he's going to be the right player for this league, but the talent is there to hold on to him. So we'll see. His highlights look great. He just throws too many pitches per inning. He's not a very efficient pitcher, I guess you could say, but really fun to watch. So maybe he'll hone in that command a little bit more. But yeah, exciting player.
Yes. Well, pitching prospects, I don't like the expression. Have you ever heard of the acronym TINSTAP?
No.
There is no such thing as a pitching prospect.
Yeah.
I think it came from a different era, and it still gets proven from time to time. But I mostly don't like it because I think like Yuri Perez was on a different level, and that all the hype turned out to be legitimate so far, and I feel like that happens all the time, but in many cases, it's kind of a bumpy ride. I know Bobby Miller is, his stuff looks great. He's had some great games, but also a couple of hiccups along the way. So it can be a painful process as you go.
Yeah. You think about a guy like Justin Steele, who's having a ridiculous year for the Cubs. He may even be like a Cy Young contender at this point. He was a fifth round pick like 10 years ago. He wasn't even a prospect really. And guy kind of came out of nowhere, popped up last year, and this year he's been ridiculous. I was listening to another podcast recently about how teams are, teams are not drafting pitchers as much in the first round, and they're picking guys with potential in later rounds who they think they can tweak something, or they have a lot of projection, but they may not have like the command or the skills to be good right away. So I feel like, yeah, pitching prospect seems to be going by the wayside a little bit. And all this pitching development that we're always hearing about is becoming more important. And you're going to hear of a lot of guys who maybe were not on your radar, just kind of coming out of nowhere more often, which is really exciting, I think. But it's, yeah, I agree with that point for sure.
Yeah. I feel like we're sort of adjusting to a new reality where players come out of nowhere like that. You've never heard of them, but they just, something gets tweaked. Suddenly they're like taking the league by storm. The name that really comes to mind is Spencer Strider, in the last couple of years. Although I'm not so sure about that guy.
you have doubts about Strider?
I don't think he's real.
You think he's AI?
Hold on.
You don't think he's going to be good going forward?
I think you have doubts. I think you made him in a lab, Chris. and you know what the dead giveaway was? The silly mustache and the indie rock thing. It's, you know, that was, you could be a little more discreet next
time. I mean, Reagan's first round pick, but 7 years ago. I think it gives me hope to know that there are guys out there who I probably haven't heard of right now who might be, you know, extremely fantasy relevant early next year. So I'm all for this. Well, you mentioned there's no such thing as a fantasy pitching prospect, but what about, and this kind of goes into the next segment, Paul Skeens, who was drafted, was he number one in the most recent draft? I think he was. He looks like the perfect pitching prospect. And this kind of leads me into a larger discussion about the first year draft in 2024. There's just so many exciting players who will be available for the first time. Just rolling off a few of the guys who were drafted at the top. There was Skeens, Dylan Cruz, Wyatt Langford. There's a couple other high school guys. But to me, it seems like there are more elite fantasy prospects from this most recent draft than I can remember since I've been playing fantasy baseball. So I just think that's going to make our first year player draft in the spring really competitive and really exciting. Do you have any thoughts on that, Teo?
Oh, it's going to be nuts, man. You know, there was the drafted players, but also Ethan Salas and a couple other players who like, just haven't been in the Yahoo player pool. You know, there's going to be a feeding frenzy. You know, personally, I don't expect to have a big enough budget going into the draft to be able to compete for players like that. So I think my focus is a little bit more on like the fringy, you know, late first round plays. And Bobby Miller came from that. Like you should always pay attention to who the Dodgers draft in the, you know, at the end of the first round. It's usually a really good player. I think that'll be interesting to see as well. But you know, Dylan Cruz is crushing the minors and it doesn't seem like they've found an excuse to stop him so far. So he's all the way up to AA. He hasn't been promoted to Triple A yet, has he?
No, Double A was, I think, a week or two ago. But early returns are outstanding for Cruz. And I'm jealous that Doug will get to, as a Nationals fan, will get to see this guy develop and become a superstar for the next few years. I can't wait to see him as an NL East fan as well. I think it's going to be really exciting.
So what makes you so certain that Dylan Cruz is that guy as opposed to like, you know, last year's college, you know, standout college player?
You know, I don't have any info aside from what I've been hearing the scouts say about him. This was known to be a really strong top of the draft, like historically good top of the draft. And From all the prospect writers who I read on a regular basis, all of them said Dylan Cruz is a can't miss, you know, 300, you know, hitter with power who could play the outfield. Just like the reports that I was hearing on him, it just filled me with a lot of confidence about this guy. He seems like as close to a sure thing as possible, he's gotten off to a good start. So the guys who I trust, who I read about this kind of stuff, everything I read from them led me to have the utmost confidence in this guy. So that's it, really.
Oh, I love getting swept up. I love getting swept up in that stuff because it's, you know, it's not stats. You can't hang your hat on any like minor league stats. You hang it on the reputation, you know, and you got him on your roster. You're like, you've become familiar with their, like, their legend and their story and stuff. It's so cool.
We didn't mention, we haven't mentioned Cameron's team. I did want to just throw in a quick plug for him. He has Jackson Holiday, who, speaking of guys who look like they're going to be just absolute superstars as soon as maybe early next year. That's a guy who I think will lead Cameron's team up standings. I think this guy looks like he's going to be an absolute superstar as soon as next year. Have you been swept up in the Jackson Holiday hype at all, Teo?
I have been crushed to a pulp under the Jackson Holiday narrative. And I'll just rewind time a little bit to the first-year player draft this year when I unloaded like a third of my whole year budget on Drew Jones for a dollar or two more than Jackson Holiday went for. And he went to Cam, who, once again, I don't think he was actually online for the draft. I think he, you know, was like at a bar, you know, doing stuff on his phone and like driving hard for like certain players and then bouncing. So, you know,
the legend of Cameron grows.
Yeah, it does. No, we've competed with Cam for many years, going back to our redraft league. He's always got, something up his sleeve, but, you know, it hasn't been, he hasn't been in the top of the pack this year, but he has got some really exciting players on his team. Jackson Holiday and LA De La Cruz next season could be a pretty explosive, combination.
Yeah, that's exciting for Cameron. All right, well, that has been, I feel like, a pretty good recap of what's been going on in the league, what's to come. I think we should commit right now to having a podcast last week of the year to kind of see where we're at. But any parting thoughts, Teo? I think we've pretty well covered everything we wanted to talk about.
No, I'm so excited to see how this plays out. Thanks for your time.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the Circle Change podcast, and we'll catch you again before the end of the season.